بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد continue reading in the book عمدة الأحكام. We have been reading from Kitab al-Tahara, the Book of Purification. And under the Book of Purification, we have begun reading from the chapter Bab al-Istitaba. Bab al-Istitaba. We can remind us of the meaning of this word, al-Istitaba, or the intent of the author, al-Istitaba. باب الاستطابة. Purification is two types. Which type? زوال الخبث. باب الاستطابة أي إزالة النجاسات أو إزالة النجاسة. نعم باب الاستطابة يعني طلب الطيب يعني طيب المحل. نعم. استطابة means to cleanse something, to make something clean and good. And the reference here is after a person, he relieves himself, that place will have najasa on that, in that area. So then a person, he'll remove that. This is what is being referred to with al-istitaba. Bab al-istitaba, some of the scholars, they also call it babu's izalatu najasa. Izalatu najasa. Remove it, the removal of impurities. So this is the meaning of al-istitaba here. Yani the removal of impurities and the cleansing of oneself by removing filth and by removing impurities from the body or from the clothing or from the area that one is at. In some of the manuscripts or in some of the texts of this particular work here, Umdatul Ahkam, the title has been mentioned, Babu Dukhul Al-Khala, what is Istitaba? The chapter of entering the restroom, the bathroom, meaning Babu Adab, yani dhalik. The etiquettes of this. So this is the intent from the author here. We have been reading that there are etiquettes and also obligations with regards to cleansing oneself and purifying oneself from filth and from najasa and from khabath. And we've seen that tahara is two types. In the legislative meaning, it is raf'u al-hadathi wa ma fi ma'nahu wa zawwalu al-khabath. So far in the previous chapter, we discussed something about both of these issues. But mainly in the last chapter, specifically in the last few classes that we had, we're discussing the issue of al-wudu. And this is with concerns to raf'u al-hadith and wama fi ma'nahu, removing the hadith. Now here he's discussing wazawal al-khabith, or izalatul khabith, removing the najasat. As we've seen in the previous class, this is from the completion of this legislation, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has decreed legislatively in His Sharia, and He has revealed the clarification for every aspect in the human life. And this is something that has come in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim, from the narration of Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, that there was a Jew, he came to him. There was a Jew, he came to him and he tried to mock him, and he tried to belittle him. He came to Salman radiallahu anhu and it was said to him, قَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ. He said, your prophet taught you everything, even going to the bathroom. Yani, but he's trying to find fault with him. Like this, the Jew, he came to him, he told Salman this, قَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ. That your prophet, he taught you guys everything, even the bathroom, even the affairs of the bathroom. Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, what did he say? Ajal. He said, Naam, that's right. He said, actually you're right. He did. He taught us everything. He taught us everything. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the affairs related to relieving oneself in the khira'a, in the bathroom. He said, لَقَدْ نَهَانَا أَن نَسْتَقْبِلَ الْكِبْلَةَ بِغَائِطٍ بِغَائِطٍ أَوْ بَوْلٍ أَوْ نَسْتَنْجِيَ أَوْ نَسْتَنْجِيَ بِالْيَمِينَ أو نستنجي أو نستنجي بأقل من ثلاثة أحجار أو أن نستنجي برجيء أو عظم. He said, that's right. Actually, you're correct. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has prohibited us from facing the Qibla whenever we relieve ourselves with number one or number two. And he prohibited us from cleaning ourselves, making istinja with our right hand. And he prohibited us from making istinja with less than three stones. And he prohibited us from making istinja with the feces of an animal or with a bone. And all of these things are from the affairs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified. So a believer, he's not shy about that. Rather, he takes honor and he's proud that he has guidance from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he has guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in every affair of his life, even in how to use the restroom. Just like Salman is ajal, that's right. He taught us everything sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our previous class, we're reading the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, and this is with regards to the entrance of the restroom. Even before entering the restroom, to relieve oneself, there are manners and there are etiquettes. There is prophetic guidance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anas, he said, النبي sallallahu alayhi wasallam إذا دخل الخلاء قال اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to, if he would enter the restroom, he would say, or the place of relieving oneself, oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from al-khubuth wal-khaba'ith. And we see in the author, he mentioned al-khubuth is the plural of khabith, meaning the male jinns, the shayateen, the male devils. Wal-khaba'ith is the plural of khabitha, and this is the female devils, the female shayateen. يعني من ذكراني الشياطين وإناثهم. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sought refuge from the male and the female devils before entering the restroom. We discussed yesterday there was a reason for this, a very suitable situation. What was that? Seeking refuge from the devils, from the shayateen before entering the restroom. Because the shaitan, he is present in the likes of these places. These places that are known for filth, like restrooms, akramakum Allah, and places that are filthy and dirty, where there is waste gathered and najasat that is gathered there. These are places the shayateen, they go to. And plus, we have seen likewise in the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْحُشُوشِ مُحْتَضَرَةً, that verily these, يعني تَحْضُرُهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that verily these restrooms, these bathrooms, the devils, they are present there. The devils, they are present there. فَإِذَا أَتَى أَحَدُكُمْ الْخَلَاءَ فَلْيَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ الْخُبِثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. This is a wording that's found in Sunan Abi Dawood. That, so if these bathrooms, they are muhtadara, meaning the shayateen are present there. They are present there. And so if one of you comes to that place to relieve himself, then he should say this, and he mentioned the same dua. So here is the legislation of al-isti'adha qabl dukhul al-khala. We see, we were discussing in our previous class, and the wording here, kana idha dakhala al-khala, if he enters the khala. So, when is the time to say the isti'adha? If he enters or before he enters? Before he enters. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in one wording, it has come, كَانَ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْخَلَاءِ. إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْخَلَاءِ. This has also been narrated by Bukhari ta'riqan fi sahihi, and it's also been narrated by Bukhari in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Sheikh Al-Albani, he authenticated this. But this is something that is known to the ulama, this uslub in the speech, كَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ خَلَاءَ أَي إِذَا أَرَادَ الدُّخُولَ. And we have seen this previously likewise with wudu, ayat al-wudu. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ إِذَا أَرَدْتُمُ الْقِيَامَ. إِذَا قُمْتُمْ, يعني إِذَا أَرَدْتُمُ الْقِيَامَ. O you who believe, if you stand for prayer, then wash your faces and your hands until the end of the verse. Yani the ulama, they mean if you stand to the salat, meaning if you intend to stand for salat. Not when you stand for the salat, that's when you make wudu. But whenever you intend to pray, you make wudu. Also, similarly like this understanding, with the Qurat al-Qur'ana, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned the same uslub al-lugu, with the same style in this, the Arabic language, using this style like this, وإذا فإذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله. The translation, if you read the Quran, or if you have read the Quran, then seek refuge with Allah. So when does one seek refuge with Allah? Is it before reading or after reading? Before reading. يعني إذا رأت من قراءة فاستعذ بالله. That's the meaning. So similarly like this, يعني this is the understanding of the narrative. إذا دخل الخلاء قال الدعاء. يعني إذا أراد أن يدخل. إذا أراد أن يدخل. So it's said before. It's said before. In this narration, there's no mention of the tasmiyah. What is the tasmiyah? To say bismillah. The tasmiyah is to say bismillah. So it's not mentioned here. Is it legislated to say the tasmiyah? Huh? So then, what is the complete sunnah, or what is most preferred before entering the restroom? What would one say? Any of this dua here from the hadith of Anas, or we say the tasmiyah along with it? Huh? Bismillah? Huh? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. So you begin with the tasmiyah. You begin with, it's recommended and it's mustahab. And from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mention the bismillah first, or excuse me, the tasmiyah. And for those who make a difference between the two, to say bismillah. To say bismillah. Now it's been narrated in one of the wordings, and it's been authenticated by Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari, that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقُولُوا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْخُبُثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. And this wording has been authenticated by Ibn Hajar. But likewise, there's a narration, the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, that he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this is an important narration with regards to the tasmiyah, saying bismillah. And also we remember that these are words that have meanings, and their meanings are great. And they're not just words that one makes with his tongue, but rather they're to say bismillah, this is seeking aid and assistance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is seeking His help, and this is asking Him for His blessing. Whenever one he says bismillah, it's a great statement, a statement of istiana, and a statement of tabarruk. A person, he says bismillah, for what reason? Does he begin with the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla in order to seek His aid and His help? They say, the ulama, they say, al-ba' huna ba' al-isti'ana, tufidu al-isti'ana. Al-isti'ana bil-badi bismillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, beginning with His name before that one does the action, this is al-tabarruk, to seek His blessing by beginning with His name first. So, believer, he remembers that whenever he makes these statements, that he is, his heart is also mentioning Allah Azza wa Jal, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one he says, the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, سَتْرُ مَا بَيْنَ أَعْيُنُ الْجِنِ وَأَوْرَاتِ بَنِي آدَمْ إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْخَلَىٰ أَنْ يَقُولَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَقُولَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ سَتْرُ مَا بَيْنَ أَعْيُنُ الْجِنِ سَتْرُ مَا بَيْنَ أَعْيُنُ الْجِنِ وَأَوْرَاتِ بَنِي آدَمْ. The veil or the curtain, the cover between the eyes of the jinn and the private parts of the children of Adam, if one of you enters the restroom, is that he says bismillah. That he says bismillah. So there's two virtues here in combining between the saying bismillah and saying this dua. So whenever a believer, he says bismillah, and this is something that we should know, not only entering the restroom, even if a person is going to take his clothing off, if he's going to, has a need to take off his clothing and to expose his private parts, and even if he's alone by himself, he will say bismillah before he uncovers his private parts. Because of this narration, the guard and the setr, the cover between, or the veil, between the eyes of the jinn and the privates of the children of Adam, is that one says bismillah. So then by saying bismillah, he has protected his private parts from being exposed to the eyes of the jinn. They will not be able to see his private parts by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then likewise, if on top of that he makes isti'adha, seeking refuge in Allah from their evil, likewise he will have the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal from their evil and their harm as well. So this is a clear evidence from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of how often he would remember Allah. And that every circumstance that he is in, he remembers Allah Azza wa Jal and his need for him. And his need for Allah Azza wa Jal. And the al-isti'adha likewise is a great, great statement. And it's an act of worship. Al-isti'adha ibadah. Al-isti'adha, a person, he says, A'udhu billah. Astaeedhu billah. Iyadhu billah. Iyadhan billah. Yani, A'udhu billah, this is a khabr. Saying, I seek refuge with Allah. But the meaning is, Allahumma a'idhni. A'idhni ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect me. Oh Allah, keep me safe. Oh Allah, protect me. And here we say, A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan. We seek refuge from shaytan. And here from al-khubuth, wal-khaba'ith, which one of the meanings here is that they are the shaytan, the male and the female of them, the devils. The thing about the shaytan is that we cannot see him. Innahu yarakum huwa wa qabiluhu min haythu la tarawnahum. Allah mentioned about shaytan that verily he sees you, him and his tribe, and him and his forces, they see you where you don't see them. So this is something, and Allah Azza wa Jalla also, he mentioned about shaytan, aduun mubin, he's a clear enemy. So imagine this, and so that we can realize this. Shaytan, he's a clear enemy, but you can't see him. If you have an enemy and you can see him, you can try to defend yourself. You can avoid him. You can go another path. If you know your enemy is coming from this way, you can go that way. If you know he's coming from the back door, you can go from the front door. If you know he's going to be in this place, you can not go to that place. Or you can prepare for him because you know where he's at. You have some information about him. Shaytan, we cannot see him. We don't know where he is. Not except whenever he whispers. We know that he is whispering to us. And he is inviting us to evil, so on and so forth. But we cannot see him. So the only way to be protected from him and the only way to stop his harm and his evil is by seeking refuge with the one who created him. Naam is by seeking refuge with the one who created him. So shaytan, he tries to cause us to disobey Allah. He tries to harm us in our deen and in our dunya. Whatever he can do to harm us in our deen and our dunya, he will call us to do that. He will call us to leave off that which we have been commanded. And he will call us and invite us and try to encourage us to perform that which has been prohibited. This is what shaytan does. He will try to invite us and encourage us and decorate the falsehood and make it look appealing and sins and so forth. And he will encourage us to fall into that which we have been prohibited from. And likewise, he will encourage us to leave off that which we have been commanded. So the only one who can protect us from the kaid and the traps and the tricks and this and the deception and the whispers of shaytan is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer, he seeks refuge with Allah. This is a great a'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. A believer, he seeks refuge with Allah. Seeking refuge, for example, in the dunya, somebody, he may seek refuge, for example, if there is a storm. What would one do? Take refuge. And so we understand the word in English, seeking refuge. Al-istiyadha al-iltija wal-i'tisam billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wal-i'timad alayhi. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wahda is to rely upon him and to trust in him and to put all one's faith and reliance and hope in him subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from something that you are afraid of. To protect you from something that you are afraid of. So whenever a person is afraid of a storm, for example, then he will take refuge in a shelter. And if there's tornadoes, so on and so forth, in the area, then a person, he will go into the cellar. And underground, and he will take refuge. And he will find this place to be suitable for him to be safe in from this thing that he fears. But here we see that what we're afraid of is this devil, the shaytan. And no one can save us from that except for Allah Azza wa Jal. So a believer, he seeks refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal, seeks protection with him, putting his faith and his hope in him and his trust in him in this manner. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. So we see that this is an example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking the means to be protected from evil, taking the means to be protected from evil, and also from najasat. Yani because the shaytan, maybe he will try to whisper to that person, or maybe he will try to cause him to spread the filth on himself, so on and so forth. Even there are some wordings of this particular hadith. Whenever the ulama, they mentioned, it's a slightly different wording. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi. Min al-khubthi. Bis-sukun al-ba. The first wording that we have seen so far, and the one the author mentioned, min al-khubuthi. بالضم الباء with a dhamma on the kha and the ba, khubu, khubuth. There's also some narrations that has come min al-khubfi with a sukun on the ba, and this is also an indication of the the greatness of the Arabic language and how vast it is. And if you just change one haraka, never mind one letter, one haraka, not one actual alif ba ta, rather one vowel sign, it changes the whole meaning. The different khubuth, the ulama, they said, is the plural of khabith. And the shaitan is khabith, he's wicked and evil. So that's the plural of that. And the shaitan, the devils, the male devils. But khubuth is more general than that. It's shar, evil. So some of the ulama, they mentioned that this is more, this one is more correct or better, because whenever a person, he makes dua, especially the supplications in the sunnah, they're very concise. So if a person, he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wa al-khaba'ith, oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from evil, wa ahli shar, min al-sharri wa ahli shar, from the evil, from evil and the people of evil. So this is more concise and inclusive, because the male and the female jinns, they're included in the evil and the people of evil. So it would be seeking refuge from every type of evil and every type of the people of evil, and all of the people of evil. But in any case, these two wordings have come like this. Khubuthi, al-khubuthi, wal-khubthi, wal-khubthi. Both of them have been narrated. Ibn Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that this one, khubth, with the sukun on the ba, is more concise, and it's more inclusive, and it's more suitable for to supplicate with. And a believer, he will seek refuge from a greater aspect of a greater any more aspects of evil, and from evil, all of evil, and that which and the people of evil, and the people of evil. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. He would say this before entering. Taib, whenever he enters, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not mentioned here, but we can discuss it. And for the reminder, how would he enter? First thing, he make the dua. Bismillah. Sa? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Then what? Left foot. Now what's the proof for that? The left foot. Sa? The proof for this one is a principle that ulama they mentioned. The proof for this one is a principle that the ulama they mentioned, that they derive from other narrations, like the narration of putting on the shoes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seen in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu. He said, "If you put ta'ala ahadukum, that he should, yani, begin with the right foot, and then and whenever he takes it off, he should begin with the left foot, so that his right foot is the first one to go on, and his left and the right foot is the last one to come off." And this is all from the aspect of honoring and showing honor and respect to the right side. So then, from that aspect, the ulama, they mentioned that it's recommended to go into the restroom in this manner, to give preference to go in this manner with the left foot, coming out with the right foot. Is there any manner of coming out? What's that?
Dua.
What's dua is that?
Gufranaka.
Ahsant. Gufranaka. You know, this is also affirmed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he left the restroom, he would say gufranak. What does that mean?
Allah forgive me.
Oh Allah, forgive me. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would relieve himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after that he would ask for forgiveness. What is the munasabah for this dua here? We've seen the munasabah. Munasabah means the suitability. To go in, seeking refuge from the devils, saying bismillah, to cover the privates, so on and so forth. But what about coming out, seeking forgiveness? Some of the gufranak has been affirmed authentically. And the other portion, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba ani al-adha wa afani, this part has not been authenticated. But the meaning the ulama they mentioned is correct. Yani Alhamdulillah, yani that this adha, this harm, this waste, that if it stays in the body, it will make a person sick. For example, the urine, akramukum Allah, if a person becomes sick and he can't remove that from his body, yani the doctors can try and try and try, but if Allah does not allow him and does not give him success, then it will not come out, and it will poison him, and it will cause him to become sick. So likewise, the feces in the excrement. If Allah does not aid him and allow him, yani it's a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla that a man relieve himself. It's a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla that he is allowed to remove this harm from himself. And some people who have ever been in a situation where they're not able to do that, they know the blessing of that. That this is a great blessing that they were able to relieve themselves and that they were able to remove this harm. And even before that, it was a great blessing that it came in. And then that some of that food that he ate, it became energy and benefit for him. And then it turned into what is left over here, this waste. And then by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he was able to relieve himself. So it's a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla that he remembers that no matter how much he would try, he's not able to thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for all of his blessings. So he finds himself in a need to seek forgiveness for shortcomings. Some of the ulama, they mention likewise about this situation that just as a person, he lightened himself from this physical waste and this physical filth, then he will remember the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla and also want to lighten himself from the spiritual filth, from the sins that he has also. So just as he removed that actual filth that's on his body, the khabith, then he realized the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his great favor, and also realizing his shortcomings and his sins, and will seek forgiveness as well to lighten his soul from the filth of sins and disobedience, from the sins and disobedience. In any case, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to entering and exiting the restroom. With regards to entering and exiting the restroom. Taib, here if a person he is going to enter into the restroom, the khala is al-makan al-mu'ad liqada al-haja. The khala is the bathroom, and the bathroom is the place that is prepared for this. And in the restroom that we know, it's prepared for relieving oneself. So then here we understand if a person goes there before he enters, this is when he says the du'a. Taib, what if he's, for example, camping, or if he's outside in the wilderness or outside and there's no restroom, when would he say this? Or will he say this? Either dakhal al khala.
Before relieving himself.
Uh-huh. No?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. What about seeking refuge? The ulama, they say that you would say it. Even if, for example, he goes to the place where he's going to relieve himself, even if it's not prepared for that. Maybe he's in the forest, or he's in the trees, or he's away, out of sight, of course. This is also from the sunnah, that he would go away from the eyes of the people. He would go away from the people. There are other issues too. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited from going under a tree, that people benefit from its shade, and are going in the middle of the path, or on the street, and on the alleyways, and so on and so forth. But just to mention here, the scholars, they say that whenever he lifts up his thobe, and whenever he's going to expose himself, at that time he'll make the dua. At that time, like whenever, for example, if he's akramakumullah, he's been down, he's in the wilderness or out of sight, and then he'll bend down, and whenever he goes to expose his private parts to relieve himself, at this time he will make the supplication. At this time, he'll make the supplication. So if it's a place that's prepared for the restroom, before entering. Just before entering. If it's a place that's not prepared for that, and the outside somewhere, then it's right as he is preparing to relieve himself, and he is going to expose himself by lifting up his clothing. Naam, it's clear? Naam. This is from the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By the next narration, the author, he says, عن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتيتم الغائط فلا تستقبلوا القبلة بغائط ولا بوم ولا تستبروها ولكن شرقوا وغربوا شرقوا أو غربوا قال أبو أيوب قدمنا الشام فوجدنا مراحيض قد بنيت نحو الكعبة فننحرف عنها ونستغفر الله عز وجل قال المصنف رحمه الله الغائط الموضع المطمئن من الأرض كانوا ينتبونه للحاجة فكنوا به عن نفس الحدث كراهية لذكره بخص اسمه والمراحيض جمع المرحاض وهو المغتسل وهو أيضا كناية عن موضع التخلي عن موضع التخلي. So the author, he mentioned the hadith of Abi Ayyub al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if one of you comes to the ghaid, and he mentioned this word twice in his narration, if one of you comes to the ghaid, then do not face the qibla with ghaid, or bowl. Ghaid, yani the author, he mentioned that the first meaning is the restroom. The word ghaid is in the first wording of Abi Ayyub is the meaning the restroom. The other one is the word that they use to refer to number two, feces, to relieve oneself, yani with number two. Everybody familiar with this terminology, number one, number two?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is something we have in America. Everybody knows that number one, number two. Sah? And the Sharia has similar like this. This is called kinaya. Kinaya, whenever a person will mention something by another name and intend something else. So sometimes the Sharia, if they're in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, if there are words that are not that are disliked to say them in public or in front of others, or a person may be shy to mention some words, they have a meeting that's not, you know, a noble meeting, so on and so forth, the legislation will use another word to refer to that. And this is also from the noble manners of the Sharia that we have learned from the etiquettes that's found in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِذَا أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. And he meaning here, al-jima'. But the word أَفْضَى means one would go to another. But the reference here is to have intercourse. But Allah Azza wa Jal didn't mention that word like this. Now, didn't mention that word like this. He used another word that's understood from that word, that meaning. And so this is sometimes these words that I want to be shy to mention them. Allah Azza wa Jal has taught us this manner and this etiquettes in his book, and likewise his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us these beautiful manners and etiquettes, that sometimes there are words that are disliked to mention in public or to others, so on and so forth. We'll use another word in its place, that everybody's familiar with that. But sometimes maybe it's suitable or necessary to actually mention the word to make sure that there are affairs that the issues are clear. Now, so he says here, the first word, al-gha'it, is actually the place that one would relieve himself. And then the other wording is the issue itself, yani number two. What bowl, and these are words that we should know with regards to this chapter, terminology, mufradat, vocabulary. Bowl is urine. Gha'it is feces. Na'am? And in general like this. The first one, gha'it, is the place also of the using the restroom. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if somebody goes to the restroom, then he should not face the qibla. Now after we made the dua and entered with the left foot, we got inside the bathroom. Now also there's etiquettes, and that is that one, he should not face the qibla. He should not face the qibla, nor should he have his back to the qibla. But rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, walakin sharriqu أو غربوا شرقوا أو غربوا. This is also one of those benefits from the أوزان الصرفي. الأوزان الصرفية. The scale here, فعلا. It has many meanings. Many meanings. So the scale فعلا يفعل فاعل تفعيلا. It has many meanings. From them, اتجاه إلى الجهة. Like here, شرق يشرق يعني اتجه إلى الشرق. وغرب يغرب تغريبا أي اتجه إلى الغرب. And so this is understood here. So فَشَرِّقُوا أَوْ غَرِّبُوا. يعني head towards, يعني اتَّجِهُوا إِلَى الشَّرْقِ أَوْ اتَّجِهُوا إِلَى الْغَرْبِ. Either face to the east or face to the west. And this narration is mentioned whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina. So the qibla of the people of Medina is which direction?
South.
South. Is south. So that means for them, if the qibla is south, and if they're not going to face it or have their back to it, what would they have to do? Turn towards the east or toward the west. Naam, so this hadith wouldn't be understood in its absolute sense. For example, somebody who the qibla is to the east already. If he turned to the east, then he's going to be facing the qibla. Naam, so then somebody who their qibla is to the east, then what would they do? They would face north or south. نعم أجنب أو أشمل شمال أشمل يعني اتجه إلى الشمال وأجنب اتجه إلى الجنوب الشمال عفوا أو الجنوب. Like this, he would face this direction, the north or the south. So in America, which direction is the Qibla?
Northeast.
Northeast. So what would we want to avoid? Facing northeast or southwest? So the other directions, we would want to face those other directions. Now, we'll see the details with this, inshallah. Now, so he says, قَالَ أَبُوْ أَيُّوبُ Abu Ayyub, he mentioned himself. He said, and after some time, and after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he died, Abu Ayyub, he said, we went to Sham. Where's Sham?
Syria.
Lebanon, Syria and Lebanon, Philistine, this whole area is called Sham. Even before that, Sham was even bigger than that, going even up into part of, they called it Antakya. Antakya was part of Turkey, and it was a huge area. But mainly right there in that area, right there, Philistine and Lebanon and Syria and what else?
Jordan.
Ahsant. Urdun, Nam. This is the area of Sham. So he said, whenever we went to Sham, we found that the bathrooms were built facing the Kaaba. There's the lands of the disbelievers, and they had already built the bathrooms facing the Kaaba, facing the Kaaba. So he said, فَنَنْحَرِفُ عَنْهَا وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ So we would when they use the restroom, they would turn away to the side and then seek Allah's forgiveness. They would turn away to the side and seek Allah's forgiveness, and they can't move the bathroom. They can't move the mirhav. Is the restroom is the place that's prepared for using the restroom. So they're not able to move the direction of that. It's already built. They got there, it's already built. So what did they do? They themselves would turn another direction, like this. And it is the most that they can, and then seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. And seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. The fact that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, he sought forgiveness for this action, and he was not able to completely turn away from the Kaaba, and the restroom, akramakum Allah, is facing the Kaaba. He is the one, he knows that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't face the Kaaba when you use the restroom, number one or number two. So he would try to turn away the most that they could, but he couldn't turn all the way away, so then he would seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. What sounds from this narration, what is apparent, is that this is an obligation. That this is an obligation. Also, there's an issue of whether this ruling is inside of a building, or if it's outside of a building. And is it the same? For example, if somebody's outside in the open, is this referring here, or is it referring to whenever is the prohibition referring to whenever one is out in the open, or whenever one is inside a building? Is it all the same? These issues the ulama have mentioned, and this is based upon the next narration. So we finished reading the translation of the statement of the author. He said, "Al-ghā'it, the ghā'it is the place, a low place in the earth, a place that's lowly." In the earth, that's what is called the ghayf, and they used to go there to find these places that are low, and they're free from, they're far away from the people, and they would go there to relieve themselves, and then so they started calling that place, because it really, in reality, it's a place that's far away from everybody, and it's a low place that is calm, and nobody's there, and that's the meaning of that word. And then they used to go there to do this action. So then they just started naming that action, that word. And they also named that place that that action is performed, that same word. But in reality, the word غائط didn't mean that in the origin. But they used that word instead of mentioning that name. And instead of mentioning that he's going to go do this or go to do that, then he would use this word instead. They would use this word instead. And with مراحيض, he says, جمع مرحاض is the plural of مرحاض. And وهو المغتسل is the place of washing, is the place of washing. But then they also used this this word mirhav to use it for the place that one would relieve himself. Actually, the word mirhav also in its origin didn't have that meaning. The mirhav was a place, a toiletry, or a place that they would go to wash themselves and to cleanse themselves with ghusl and so on and so forth. But then they just used this same word to refer to that action that they did not like to mention the name of. Now that they did not like to mention the name of, this is from the good manners likewise in speech, as we have seen before. The next narration of the author he mentioned, and Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattabi radiallahu anhuma, qala raqitu yawman ala bayti Hafsa, faraaytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqdi hajatahu mustaqbil al-sham, mustadbir al-ka'bah. So here we have a narration. Now this is along with the same issue of facing the Qibla, the Kaaba, or turning one's back to it during the act of relieving oneself. Now, so here's the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he said, I climbed one day onto the house of Hafsa. Who is Hafsa? The daughter of Umar. So that means Abdullah and Hafsa, they're brother and sisters. They're brother and sisters. Radiallahu anhum jamiyan. So he's climbing on the house of his sister. And there's one narration mentioning لِبَعْضِ حَاجَتِ. He had some need. He's not climbing up there for no reason, rather he had to take care of some business. So he's climbing on to the house of his sister to take care of a need, for a reason. While he is there, he says, فَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقْضِ حَاجَتُهُ. Whenever he climbed there, he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieving himself. How was he relieving himself? مُسْتَقْبِلَ الشَّام مُسْتَدْبِرَ الْكَعْبَ. That he was facing Sham with his back to the Kaaba, with his back to the Kaaba. So we see in the hadith of Abi Ayyub, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not face the Kaaba with ghaat or with bowl, and do not turn your back to it even. And this is from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He commanded that. In this narration, we see that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he was taking care of some need. He climbed up on the house of his sister, and he looked down. He sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieving himself, and at the same time, his back is to the Kaaba. His back is to the Kaaba, and he's facing Sham. So because of this reason, the ulama, they have differed about this issue. Is it allowed? Is it permissible? What is the ruling of facing the Kaaba or turning one's back to the Kaaba while relieving oneself? What is the ruling? This is the issue that we are going to discuss now, that the ulama have mentioned. Some of them mentioned, the ulama, they mentioned that it's haram, absolutely. Yani here, what is mentioned here, what they have said in it's haram, absolutely. Others, they said it's permissible, absolutely. Others, the ulama mentioned that it's haram if there is in the open land with nothing between the person, like right away. And there's nothing shielding him right next to him. And it's permissible inside of a building. But what is the best opinion, and Allah knows best, is that a believer, yani he should not face the Kaaba whenever relieving himself at all, unless there's a necessity. So this is an issue that the ulama, they have differed about, whether it's permissible or whether it's not permissible, whether it's haram or whether it's disliked, and he facing the Qibla, facing the Kaaba, while relieving oneself, or having one's back to the Kaaba while relieving oneself. And Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, فَفِي الصَّحْرَى فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. If a person, he does it in the open area, and the Sahara is the desert, but any meaning in the fada, and in the open area with nothing blocking him, then this one is considered haram. And if he said, وَإِذَا كَانَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ فَالْأَوْلَى عَدَمُ اسْتِقْبَالِهَا. Naam, but if it's inside of a building, then what is most proper and what is best is to not face it still. Is to not face it still. Yani, and it's dislike. He said, فِي الْفَضَى الْاِسْتِقْبَالِ يعني, is haram وَيُقْرَهُ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ إِلَّا لِحَاجَةٍ. That is disliked. Yani, but many of the ulama, they mentioned that it's haram in both times, whether inside of a building or outside of a building, whether something is between you and the Kaaba or not between you and the Kaaba. The best opinion, Allah knows best, or the best guidance for a believer, is that he will not face the Qibla. Neither will he turn his back to it, out of honor and respect for the Qibla and for the Kaaba, whenever he used the restroom, also complying to this command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the origin for a believer, that he will not do that. That he will not do that. And he'll be aware of that. As for the case, if he came to a building, for example, a home or some place that's already built, he has no option of which way to face. It's already there. So then at this time, then he will try to apply that hadith of Abi Ayyub radiallahu anhu, and turn, if he can, if it's possible, without causing himself hardship, or without putting himself in risk of spreading the najasa more because of turning. And if it's possible for him to turn without any harm or difficulty, then he will turn sideways, turning away from the Kaaba. And if he is not able to, then you fear Allah as much as you can. You fear Allah as much as you can. But as for Yani the ulama who mention it's permissible or that it's permissible inside of a building, that doesn't mean that a believer, if he's going to build a structure, that he will just take it lightly and build this the restroom facing the Kaaba or with the back to the Kaaba saying, oh, it's inside of a building. La. A believer, he would stay away from these differences of opinion like this. So if a person is going to build a structure, a home, or to build a business or so on and so forth, then he will take this into consideration. He will take this and he will consider this issue, this command, or rather prohibition from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to face the Qibla or to turn one's back to it when using the restroom. So if the restroom is already like that, if a person can turn away, he will do that and ask Allah to forgive him. Yani, but in any case, this is all showing honor and respect to the Kaaba and to the direction of the Qibla. If a person is in need for that, inshallah, there's no blame on him. Inshallah, there's no blame on him. Naam. The next narration, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل الخلاء فأحمل أنا وغلام نحوي إداوة من ماء وعنزة فيستنجي بالماء الأنزة الحربة الصغيرة. So he mentioned the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would go to the restroom sometimes, I would go with him, me and another young boy my age. And we would carry with us a bucket, a dawa, it's like a water skin. We would carry with us a water skin. Wa anaza. Anaza is like a small spear, but small spear. Naam, and he would make istinja with the water. He will make istinja with the water. So this narration, the author is mentioning to clarify the ruling of making istinja and removing that it's permissible to use water alone. As we've seen in the previous chapter, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Waman istijmara falyutir," that whoever made istijmar, then let him use it with witr. In this narration, there's no mention of istijmar, and he is only mentioning istinja bil ma. So this is the evidence that is permissible and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to use water only. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.